Episode 52.
Welcome to the Into 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm Brian.
I'm Hope.
I'm Daniel. And today we're going to be going over some Zendikar Rising spoilers, because it's spoiler season, which is basically every day of the week with Wizards.
Lately, yeah, every season has been spoiler season.
Like the last 2 months?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe 2 months, much more than that.
Yeah, no.
Last episode, Commander Legends. This episode, new spoiler season.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they'll start the call time.
Too, I know.
Before Zendikar releases.
The product fatigue is so real.
Product fatigue is real. Wizards, my other secret lair hasn't even began to ship. New secret lair.
Am I the only one who was actually excited about the Yargle secret lair?
No. I liked it a lot, but I knew that I would just end up taking it out as a common, throwing it in, and it would just be in a pile somewhere. I wouldn't be able to... I wouldn't not play them, and I know that they would get lost.
Yeah.
So,
well, for me, there are a bunch of people in our LGS that were stoked about it. Like, literally last night, I heard people just, like, freaking out, like, 10 out of 10 hype, and which was awesome. Like, this pleases me greatly. That's the kind of vibe I'm looking for in my playgroup. But it was,
my swords with the Yargle sword.
Yeah, it would be incredible.
It's a cool product. I like that they put it in. It's pretty silly. But I don't know.
It's just not your vibe.
I have other things to buy.
Also, I feel like not every secret lair is for everyone. No, yep, different absolutely. Than, the...
I haven't even bought a single one.
You're missing out, Brian.
That is a lie.
Yeah, you bought the fetch lands.
Oh, don't talk about that.
That is a bold-faced
I guess that is a secret lair.
I forgot sure it was. Is. Brian buys the fetches. I've never bought a secret lair. Brian spent more secret lairs than I have.
No, that's not true.
We bought the summer drop.
Huh?
I think so.
We bought the summer drop, the cats, the kaleidoscope killers.
Oh, I forgot about those. Don't at me.
Yeah,
Kaleidoscope Killers is amazing. The artwork is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, that Ur-Dragon.
Oh, that Ur-Dragon is sweet and sweet. Sometimes I just like to give it a little kiss every once in a while.
The Ur-Dragon is the king.
Yeah. Anyways, though, the Ur-Dragon is not in Zendikar.
Yes, so anyway.
That's not even where he's from.
We're going to start out. First off, Zendikar has some new mechanics, as you'd expect. Obviously, Landfall's back, because Landfall is just what needs to be in Zendikar. But, they have new modal kind of cards. Ooh. Wizards said that they were not going to print flip cards anymore because they didn't like that, and then here they are printing it again. So hopefully that applies to the reserve list. So the first...
We're never going to do it. Lol, JK, we do whatever we want.
So first and foremost, I want to get into this talking about... There's some very, very good cards in this, but this is the first set that I haven't felt is overwhelming. There's incredible power creep in it. There's strong cards, but it's not like most sets where you see and it's, this is a must-have for this deck. This is a lot of these are pretty balanced, and a lot of these are based on... No, I see the face there, Brian, but a lot of them are pretty balanced and give access to things that kind of even the playing field from the dual lands. That's one of the biggest problems for the older cards is that access to land base. Land has always been the most difficult thing to price around... The more colors you go up in deck, the more it's a problem.
Sure is.
So they've come out with some new modal style cards, which are lands on one side, spell on one side, and a new form of dual lands. And we'll get into those when we get to them in the set. But I want to talk about how these function specifically first, because I think it's really interesting. Whatever they are in your deck is what they are. So if you have it on the land side of the card, you cannot fetch the spell side or creature side of it with... a land fetch card. But the reverse is true as well. If it's on, the first one is Emiria's Call, for instance. It's a sorcery. If it's on the Emiria's Call side, I can fetch it with like a Mystical Tutor or something that fetches out spells.
Yeah.
But I can't fetch the tap for white land part of it. So whatever they are in your deck or grave or on the field is what they permanently are. The only place you can choose to change the side of them is in your hand when you play them. So you choose whatever you want. So
like as they sit is as they are.
Yes, exactly. So if I have, again, Emiria's Call is, it's a land and a sorcery. I cannot return target land to my graveyard if I cast it as a sorcery.
Why would you want to return it to your graveyard?
From my graveyard, sorry. But yeah, so...
Get back in there.
You fool!
So with these, the first set of them, they made a new Sword of Shockland. And I think that these are so far the best cards spoiled. All of them are just solid inclusions. So we're going to start with Amiria's Call. It's a late game, very strong card. It's 4 and 3 white. For a sorcery, create 2/4/4 white angel warrior creature tokens with flying. Non-angels you control gain indestructible until your next turn. So until your next turn is a really, really good effect. The fact that it makes angels, but the angels aren't indestructible, I'm not a big fan of that part. However, 7 mana is a very, very high cost. And for a lot of decks, that's way higher than you want to draw an open hand.
Yeah, too high.
So what they've done the opposite side is... it's called Amiria Shattered Skyclave. This is a mythic rare, by the way. As it enters, you can pay 3 life. If you don't, it enters tapped. So a new form of a Shockland, only for one color, but it gives you that utility into the late game. So if you need it early, you can have it tapped, no consequence. If you need that untapped mana, 3 life. And if you don't need the land later in the game... Yeah.
But if you don't need 3 life in Commander, who cares? I
know. Yeah, we play 40 life. But so all of these, I think, are just great inclusions. Like the fact that you get so much diversity is, I said there's not a lot of auto includes. A lot of these would be, because there's no real downside to running them. They're a tap land at worst and a big spell at best.
Well, and especially looking at like the Amiria one, it's not dependent on you playing angels at all, which typically if I saw something that said Amiria, I would just assume angels mattered. And this is the exact opposite of that, which is kind of nice little bonus.
Yeah, for this one, I probably just play as a land.
Well, as a land
but
is good,
nice
but
to just have if you even, if late game you got some.
I was going
to
say for you, Brian, you play colors that love white. Yeah. If in your Silvala deck, you don't run a ton of angels, right? You've got Avacyn, but Avacyn doesn't need to be indestructible.
Yeah,
but you know,
it's a hexproof though.
Silvala, Nyx Bloom, all of those things. Having those indestructible until your next turn is a real bomb card. The fact that it makes 2 white angels for blockers until that turn, also very, very strong. And again, worst case scenario, in its absolute worst, it's just a tapped land.
Yeah.
Right? And tapped lands aren't like the worst thing we've ever seen in EDH.
Nope, by no means.
The next is Seagate Restoration, and I really, really like this card a lot. It's another sorcery, 7 cost, 4 and 3 blue. It's draw cards equal to the number of cards in your hand plus 1. You have no max hand size for the end of the till the end of the game.
I like that one.
I think that's a phenomenal card. The same as the flip side, the pay 3 life for a blue or it enters tapped.
That art looks super cool.
Oh well, and
all
it's
the hedgerows
and lore wise is really cool too, because like it even the flavor text is Tazri, no longer general, because she doesn't have to be anymore. Mm-hmm. We have much to remember and much we can never forget. It's pretty heavy metal because the Seagate, that's where they were holding off the
That was like Lamont, one of the last stands there for them. The flip, I just want to talk about the opposite side of it. Is the flip side is Seagate Reborn, which is again also lore wise, and the flavor text on that is we carry on the legacy of those who defended our world by continuing to unearth its secrets. Very, very cool. In that set. Go ahead.
So, something I wanted to talk about, not to really bury the lead, but so far we've, only seen 3 of the 5 colors spoiled for these sorceries.
Yep.
What's really nice is Wizards giving artists who have, you know, have a good background, good track record anyways, but artists that haven't had a lot of, like, really big cards, like, giving them the chance to actually kind of step out and show what they're capable of doing. Like, you know, normally Wizards lately, and nothing against artists about the name, but like Seb McKinnon, phenomenal artist.
I was gonna say Seb too.
Yeah, like it's nothing against him, but they've kind of like not used him as a crutch, but like they've leaned on Seb very hard, which he deserves it. He's a phenomenal artist. But it's nice seeing, you know, we've gotten away from some of the artists that are problematic in the community. So seeing these artists that don't have as much their name and the artwork being phenomenal and being on very big cards, it kind of excites me from a collector's standpoint. Like,
it's nice to just see something new, right? Because like, how can you possibly know about, like, there are so many artists that work on like with Magic the Gathering, with Wizards, and so it's really cool to see exactly them get mythics, you know, and like different.
Yeah, it's not just a common anymore.
Yeah, well, like, it's just really dope, exactly. Sometimes I'll see really beautiful art, and it feels almost like it's wasted, you know, like on a common or on like one of the split cards. Ugh. It's so sad.
Give me a bigger version of that, please.
You know, yeah, exactly. So it's really nice to see like these beautiful pieces of art that are like. Question: are the flip cards are both sides done by the same artist?
They should be. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
Pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah. They are.
Yeah. What a nice little bonus. Just a little. So sweet.
You get to draw two for one.
I'm into it. And I was, like I said, I was going to say Seb also, because Seb McKinnon, almost all the time when I see art and I'm just like, wow, that's beautiful, it's always Seb. I should just assume, because like his vibe is very like, it reminds me of Tool album art, you know, like it's kind of creepy, yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean, you guys have kind of seen how I do my decks where I'll be very specific about the art that I include. And that's kind of something that I was really excited about when I was looking through this, like the spoilers we've seen so far. There are artists we've already been, you know, introduced to and familiar with, but there are some that are just like...
almost like unknowns, right? Relative unknowns.
Yeah, and just absolutely crushing it and getting these big cards that are just phenomenal. And the artwork style, like I feel like we've gotten used to a specific thing, and I miss kind of like the older days of Magic where, you know, like you would see a specific artist and just, or not even see a specific artist, but you would see a card and know like, oh, that's that artist. And it's bummed me out that we've kind of gotten away from that. There are like a couple artists that you can pinpoint like without. So it's kind of nice. This art style is different and it's, I don't know, it's just exciting for me kind of in a Vorthos way.
Hear, hear.
I have to say this next card, Draena, the Last Blood Chief, the art's pretty neat, and I do enjoy that it gives some reanimator-ish to it. So Draena, the Last Blood Chief, 3BB, legendary creature, vampire cleric, because that's going to be important. Flying, whenever Draena, the Last Blood Chief, attacks, defending player chooses a chooses a non-legendary creature card in your graveyard. You return it to... oh, never mind. You return to the that card to the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. The creature is a vampire in addition to other types.
Yeah. So
in a worst case, though, like, yeah, I know you're saying, oh, well, that's not great, but at the same time...
I thought I got to pick it, but do you know what?
Still.
If they have to choose one, but if it's full of just gas in the graveyard, then
that's what I'm gonna say. This card is absolutely nuts. Like,
yeah, well, it's only on attack. You don't need to hit them with it, right? So it's a very strong card,
especially Draena's flying. Because go ahead, Zach.
No, I'm sorry. Draena has always been really good. I've like seen the evolution with that. That's something else, like a Vorthos type thing. Where I was on Twitter. And a couple of the people from the Vorthos cast, like the Vorthos podcast, they were showing like 3.0 characters in Magic. And this was one of them where they've showed Draena in 3 different iterations. And it's just, she's steadily gotten stronger and stronger. This card is just nuts.
Well, what the other one, Draena, can't remember her name, but isn't she the one that forces people to sacrifice stuff?
No, there's one that you mana sync for target creature gets -0/-X, and she gets +X +0. And then her other one, Draena, Liberator of Malakir, yeah, has flying first strike. Is it flying or just first strike?
Yeah,
flying.
I'm pretty sure it's flying first strike. And it's whenever she deals damage, you put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. So and the fact that it hits the first strike, it... it hits that, and then all your creatures will get the counters before combat damage.
Yeah, she rules.
Ooh, interesting. I don't think I've actually played her correctly.
Yeah, they would get them before they attack. So.
Yeah, so like because first strike just it lets her hit first. So if you can get through with it, and you have like let's say for some reason you have Avenger of Zendikar, you have 20 plant tokens and her, and you swing with your 0/1 plants, and she hits. Then you'll get 1/1 on all the plants before damage is done.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Because it'll be like
who's gonna block zero
per combat, then their combat.
Yeah, it's definitely a very she's a cool creature in general. I'm happy to see another iteration of her. I also like in her artwork she is holding the Blade of the Blood Chief.
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
What
a queen. Do you want to read this one, my dear?
Yeah, sure. It's the next one is Shatter Skull Smashing. X red for it's the flip sorcery of the red one. deals X damage divided as you choose among up to two target creatures and or planeswalkers. If X is six or more, deals twice X damage as you choose among them instead. Oof. Very good card, but the weakest of these so far. The fact that it's only creatures or planeswalkers is, it's okay.
Yeah, because you'd like to smack someone with that.
Yeah, I want to see a player.
If you could, if this was an any target spell, this would be phenomenal. Well, but you maybe, could, maybe if that's you have
stuffy
why
doll.
The twice X. Yeah, you can stuffy doll. You can repercussion, and it's an okay board wipe for problematic things like. But it's the same thing. Like, how many creatures in Magic frequently in anyone's games are you going to have to do 12 damage to kill something, right?
Yeah, I think they'll draw Wizards was kind of smart wording it the way they did, because we've had so many cards that are like triple damage, double damage with Fire Emancipation and the Elk. I'm glad it's worded the way it is. It's not as strong, but it's still like the hoops you have to jump through to make this kill someone is not high in Commander.
Well, and the other thing too is that it's not to each of those creatures. It's not like a Fall of the Titans style. It's if mm-hmm. it's six or more, it deals twice X divided as you choose among them instead. So again, like if I need to kill a 12-12, I need 26 mana in it.
What?
Something like that. Yeah, because it's divided. It's two each. It's not to each of them. I have to divide it. So I only have
up to two.
Yeah, so you can target
one. But you have to divide how you choose to. So if I want to kill two 12-12s.
Oh yeah. True that.
I thought you meant a single one.
No, two 12-12s. So again, like it's just I don't know. This is like Fireball.
Yeah, not, most likely it's
just slightly better again. Fireball.
I'm still gonna slot into red deck, so
it's not bad. And Run again, team. The extra, it's the utility that you're getting with these, right? Yeah. This is just the weakest one of them so far.
Well, it's the only one that hasn't cost seven yet.
Well, it kind of costs eight. So, it kind of costs eight. The next one, I kind of want to skip and come back to because I have a lot more to say about it. So, if that's cool with the team.
Well, I don't know how many of these we're actually going to fully be going through. So, let's talk that one now, yeah.
All right, yeah. So, this one is Ashaya, whatever, Soul of the Wild. So, it's three green for a legendary creature elemental. And it is a star. It has no noted power and toughness. His power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control, and non-token creatures you control are force in addition to their other types. And let me tell you, there has been some talk about this card.
Yeah, well, it's a very exciting card. It has weird rule interactions. I don't want to get into the weird rule interactions of how long it is to drag out what happens in this situation and that situation, and if it has this. What I want to say the thing I'm the most excited for is, number one, this will turn all non-token creatures you control into a landfall trigger. So any deck that cares about lands coming in really, really cares about something like this.
So out of curiosity, with Chulain being able to put a land...
They would only be lands on the field. You wouldn't be able to put creatures down.
Yeah. Boo!
Because they're force in addition to their other types. So...
But that being said...
and they're still affected by summoning sickness.
One of the things that I think is the coolest about this card is this creature was first a token. It was from the Flip Nissa.
Yeah.
Where you can put it in. Lore-wise, this was part of Zendikar itself that mm-hmm. Nissa animated to fight the Eldrazi. Mm-hmm. It's very, very cool that it's come to life in its own token. And it would be really
cool. In its own card.
Yeah, it would be, or yes, into its own card. It would be very cool if things such as Merit Lage in the future also would.
Are just like their own creatures.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's funny, when I first saw this card get spoiled, like the conversation, the questions around it was like, this has to be fake.
It's a very strong card. Like very strong card.
I really like how, like you were saying, it was a card that started as one thing and became another. Like we've seen that a lot with V2 Ghazi. Yep. Where in mm-hmm. Ravnica, you know, it's been one thing,
it's
and finally
just the Guild Hall. Yeah.
So I love seeing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The next one is
broken.
Broken's subjective, but it is broken. It's and
I think I've seen so many people call for its ban already.
Well, it's a weird card because it's Angel of Destiny. It's an angel cleric. It's three white for a 2/6 flying double strike. Those are already good stats.
Oof.
Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you and that player each gain that much life. Another very, very cool mechanic. So you can fully swing out at people and have it as a political tool. Listen, I'm not trying to kill you. I just want to gain some life. You can gain your life back. You're not actually damaging them. That being said, if you swing at them with lethal, you will kill them before the life gain happens. Mm-hmm. So if Hope has 40 life, I swing at Hope for 40 damage. She will lose the life first, lose the game before she can deal the 40. But if she has 39, I swing for 40 and I swing for 39, she will just gain it all back. No consequence. Yeah. And I will gain 39 life.
Here's the consequence.
One second. This ability doesn't, it's not lifelink. It is not a keyword.
Yeah. It is life gain.
It is life gain. So if you have lifelink on creatures, it will double. And if you have like lifelink spirit loop, you'll gain 3 of it. It's a very, very cool interaction. The problem a lot of people have is this last ability, and I'll explain the reason it's the most problematic, but it's at the beginning of your end step. If you have at least 15 more life than your starting total, each player Angel of Destiny attacked this turn loses the game. There is two problems with that. Number one is if I can swing out with haste, this is an end step trigger. You must have a response to it or you will die at the end step. If you cannot kill it, the game's done for you.
Yeah.
It's not like Fell Out Our Sovereign where at least it has to make it around the table. Everyone has a chance to get it. You will die on the end step. So whoever is your biggest problem is that. And if you don't have the damage to kill them, if you don't even hit, you have to... This is a 2/6. This is a 2/6. Unless they can kill it on the attack, they will die. It's every player that they attacked loses the game. So it's
straight target for any removal.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. That's the reason that it could be a ban-worthy card is because it's an auto answer. You have to answer it. And everyone's played against life gain decks. Everyone knows that the life gain deck at the table is going to be higher than 55.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Easy.
Like it's you know, like you're every Aloro player, you're how much is your life?
Yeah. Well, and it's 5 mana. So like at that point you've gained some life already.
Yep.
If you're dropping a 5 CMC card.
Yep.
Don't know why my brain's not working there.
That's the problem is you need something that is bigger than you need something 6 damage and bigger than 4 toughness. Otherwise, it's going to die, and it needs to have flying to even remotely deal with this if it has haste. And
yeah, so basically you have to either have a big boy flyer, or you need to, what's it called? Or you need to be able to exile it or destroy it.
Hey, you guys asked for Boros to get stronger.
Well,
yeah. I'm not mad at it. I have a Boros Angel deck. I'm thrilled.
The other thing, though, too, is that... you can do like I play Boros Angels, for instance. If I was able to gain some life and I sneak attack this, I pay my 1. You sack it at the beginning of the next end step, but I organize the triggers. You'll lose before I sacrifice it for the 1 mana.
Yeah.
With haste, like there is a lot of broken interactions with this card, and again, the fact that it turns all of your creatures into gain life, it really accelerates this. Even without that ability, this would be a very strong card, but every stat on this card is just a good stat. A 2/6 flying double strike for 5 wouldn't even be a bad angel. People would be happy about that. With its second ability alone, whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you and them gain
that
life.
Would make it mythic.
That would be mythic. But this is a very, very strong card.
So
that being said, I'm very excited to slot it into.
I do have a question because I saw people saying if you put Sword of Selves on it.
Blade of
Selves, and you swing at everyone.
Yeah, myriad. Everybody dies.
No.
So then, because then I saw a comment saying that it wouldn't work, because I did see people saying that this would work, but those angels, the copies that hit the other players, leave the...
They would exile, so they would
at
no
the
longer...
end of combat.
Yeah. So if you can find a way to, like...
But my question is, would... Because its name is still Angel of Destiny, wouldn't it still trigger that?
Because itself is still there? Because its trigger is whatever one this one specifically attacked.
Yeah, well, and at the end step, it would check. They wouldn't be there. It would be null and void. However, if you could stop the turn and go back around, like if you could end the turn and then go back around the table and then hit everybody with those tokens that have been made. Or you can just make other tokens.
You can counter triggered abilities.
Yeah.
So you have the ability to... The exile trigger you can counter.
I mean, yeah, what's that? You can sundial.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
Well, no, Sundial. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yes.
And the
keep
turn. Them around, yes. And the turn, so they stay. And
well, you can Helm of the Host the
table. Yeah, Helm of the Host.
Right of Replication.
Yeah, there are definitely
the other thing is, because their ability is not lifelink, that ability will stack for everyone you do have.
Yes.
Which is...
Oh, gross.
Yes. So if you can find a way to get it... if you can find a way to get it out and you have 10 damage that you can swing, or let's even say you have three of these, all three of them are going to hit for 4 damage. You'll gain 4 life, 4 or 3 times, whatever amount of times you have. Yeah, so you'll gain 12 on them hitting.
Yeah, on each of them, right?
So I do want to play Devil's Advocate to this card. Like, it's very powerful and I'm not going to undersell it, but I will say that we've with all the supplemental sets we've gotten and the way removal has been printed recently, I think this card is going to be still powerful, but answering it, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as it would have been like a year ago.
Well, a lot of people need to put in more removal.
Yep.
I was going to say, I'm like, if you don't have the removal to deal with a single creature that is targetable,
The problem with that is we can't base what's broken on if you're holding the perfect removal for it at the time.
Well, and the other thing, though, is that, like you said earlier, it guarantees that somebody has to remove it.
Well,
somebody has to.
Let's even say that we're playing in a normal pot of just the four of us. We have Brian, who has a lot of enchantments that can lock the game out late, and I know that if he has the Humility out, it's going to be a problem. I know that Hope has got big creatures, and I know that, like, Zach generally has more removal. I'll kill the removal player first, obviously.
Yeah.
Then I'll kill Brian next because I know that Brian can maybe Humility the board to stop it. Right? Like, you're going to be able to... The problem with this is that you can figure out whatever the biggest issue with your deck is and kill that player before they have a chance to respond. It's at the end step.
Yeah.
So you...
And we do have the... In that same kind of scenario, something to think about, too, is that, like, because Commander is a political thing, that we do have, typically if you were to play this, if you don't have anything that gives it haste, it's going to set for a turn cycle before you can swing. So that is potentially 3 turns to deal with a problem.
Mm-hmm. But like, that's what I mean. It's just the automatic ability to knock someone out and you have to answer it is why it makes it problematic.
Yep.
It's not a, well, this is strong on the board, but Like this must be removed. So one of your three opponents must have something. And a lot of these decks, like, you're going to see a lot of green-white that have the ability to protect their things. A lot of Heroic Intervention was just reprinted. There's going to be a lot of... People aren't going to leave this unprotected on the board. It's not like they're going to tap out to play it.
Yeah, so. the thing with this one is... Oh, sorry?
I was playing Devil's Advocate.
Oh, no. And that is it. Like, it is removable, but it's just the amount of power packed into it is pretty strong. Like,
oh, yeah. It's definitely nuts. I'm super excited to play with this card. It's more of just like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, figuring out where it's actually going to land.
To me, this is similar to Urza in the sense that Urza also has 3 abilities, and Urza would have been just as strong with any of the 2 of his 3. Right? This is the same thing. If you took Flying Double Strike away from this and just made it a cleric, still be a mythic card. If you took the, like, any stat that you put into this, if you take one of them away, this is still a mythic level card. It would be great even without the lose at the end. I don't know. I'm actually pretty excited for it, but I think that it has the most out of all the cards recently printed, it is the most bannable. And you see a lot of people are unhappy with things like Infect, for instance.
Yeah.
Because it makes them lose in a way they feel is unfair.
Especially if it's only 10.
This is the same thing, right? This is a way to feel unfair about how you lose. Because
it's also like, it's in an awkward place too, right? Because like, when we talk about the power level of specific colors, like, white is always at the bottom, you know? Like, so I don't think Wizards has a good, they either make extremely powerful white cards, you know, like Iona, Elish Norn, and that kind of stuff, or they make very, very, like, Cartographer Hawk type stuff where you have to be behind to
Speaker of the Heavens.
But the problem is, like, white isn't weak. It's just that Commander players don't like to play what white is. White is salty
land
cards.
Destruction.
Yeah. White is blow your lands off the board. White is all of your like hate bear kind of Drannith Magistrate effects.
Hard exile, really intense. Yeah. Elesh Norn is a great example.
Yeah, so it's not that white is weak. It's just that like commander players are shy to use what makes it strong.
Yeah, well, and because they don't want to affect the like friendly fun side of commander, right? Like it's supposed to be casual and fun and whatever. And so if you're coming out and you're like Armageddon, you might not have a pod next time.
And with the mention of hate bears, there's a lot more hate bears coming out of this set.
Oh yeah.
Oh heck yeah, buddy.
And they're all.
The new Jace is a pretty interesting one.
I'm into the new Jace.
I'll let you take it.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I like it a lot. It reminds me of like old Jace. I don't know. So it's one and a blue for Jace. It starts at 4 loyalty. Jace Mirror Mage, and he has Kicker, which I was just over the moon about because I
Kicker
love
on
Kicker.
A Planeswalker's pretty.
Kicker
neat.
On a Planeswalker rules, and Kicker just as a mechanic, it's tight. So when he enters the battlefield, if Jace the Mirror Mage was kicked, create a token that's a copy of it, except it's not legendary and its starting loyalty is 1 as opposed to 4, plus 1, scry 2, and for 0, draw a card and reveal it. Remove a number of loyalty counters equal to that card's CMC from Jace.
You were about to say Mind Sculptor, weren't you?
No. No, no, I know better. But no, being able to scry with one and then draw with the other is super neato. Like, what a neat interaction. And you could also stack it so that you can draw lands and then you can stack your...
This card, its foiling is going to be dope.
Yeah, it will look pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people have already talked about the interaction with Teferi's Ageless Insight.
Oh, yeah.
That is actually a draw replacement two. Effect.
Yeah.
So you'll draw two and you won't actually lose any from Jace.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So it's a zero cost draw two in that situation.
Gorgeous.
More card arts. Have you guys seen the...
The alt art Jace is maybe the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I was talking about it at work and like one of my favorite things that they do with art is when they hit really aggressive complementary colors. So seeing like that really intense orange with that really intense blue, it's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's perfect. I love it. And he's never looked better.
I was already really excited about this card because I really like my favorite tribe in all of Magic is changelings or shapeshifters, whatever you want to call them. So to have something that's going to make a copy of itself is already super interesting. But when I saw that alternate art, I was just
gorgeous.
Away.
Well, like, and to me, like often because like poster boy Jace is exactly that. Like he often gets like weirdly strong cards with stupid abilities and whatever. But I think that this planeswalker is super like middle of the pack, and that's exactly where he should be.
Well, not everything has to be the Mind Sculptor or each Teferi.
Exactly. Every Teferi ever.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Teferi's in this one.
But I think he looks like a very, very, what? Why are you looking
at? No, continue your sentence. I'll cut it after.
Brian, yeah, stop moving your head. Brian looks like a confused owl. Just go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
So I'm going through the list.
Yeah.
Omnath's not on here.
Omnath will be on here, I'm sure.
I've scrolled
down. Or maybe he's not officially spoiled yet.
Is he a mythic or is
he? Yes, he is.
Where is he? Is he a rare? Because I just went down and I didn't even see him.
I'll pull it up.
At the very bottom.
Oh.
Chill, Brian. Chill.
I'll just pull Omnath up. We'll get into him already. He's very cool. Four color Omnath of the sky. He's not in a cave yet.
Or ascended.
He is, yeah.
I love that comment. They're like, oh, poor Daniel.
So this is four color Omnath. It's red, green, white, blue for a 4/4 elemental legendary creature. When it enters, draw a card. Great ability. Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 4 life if it's the first time this ability is resolved. If it's the second, you add 4 mana, one of each of its colors, and if it's the third, it deals 4 damage to each opponent and each planeswalker you don't control.
The each is very cool. Mm-hmm. Dropping lands like that in an Omnath deck, easy.
Well, being able to get 3 lands into play is going to be not a super hard task in general. If you play Terramorphic Expanse and then crack it, you're already at your first two.
Or that Ashaya guy.
Well, the other thing, the ability to drop in a Terramorphic Expanse, gain 4 life, tap it, and have 4 mana available. Extremely strong card.
Yeah, because that takes exactly a Terramorphic, which is just kind of, I mean, it's useful for what it is, but it's not, you know, it's Terramorphic Expanse. It's not great. It's just kind of fine.
It is what it is.
Yeah. So it's pretty neat. I'm also sad that they didn't splash Black Burst, but I think it looks pretty tight.
Have them go down the dark road and then ascend.
Well, I'm pretty stoked because obviously mono green Omnoth, wild.
Yeah.
Green red Omnoth, also very cool. The teamer one was like okay. I really like it, but it's objectively not as strong as the other two. But this one I think is really, really neat.
I want to get into one of the next mythics that's on this list. We're skipping over one, but it's Mohrog Fury of Akum. It's 4 red for a Minotaur Warrior 6/6. So 6 for a 6/6, very strong.
When the power and toughness are close to the mana cost.
Each creature you control gets 1/0 for each time it's attacked this turn.
This is disgusting.
So that's the as soon as you declare it as an attacker, this is a 7/6, and it's a full Anthem creature. This is a great in general card for aggro kind of decks. You know, it would be good in Goblins, it'd be good.
But what strange wording each time it's attacked this turn. Yeah. How interesting.
So this has a pretty interesting
landfall ability.
So whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, if it's your main phase, there's an additional combat phase after this phase. At the beginning of that combat phase, untap all creatures you control.
Ew.
So again, Terramorphic Expanse, I will be swinging 2 more times.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we decide that that's how it works? Like,
It doesn't say if it's the first time. It's as long as the land enters in your main phase. So you can't Sword of the Animist infinitely to get things in. It has to come in during a main phase. But at the the ability to just as many lands as you can drop in, it looks like, is as many times as you can attack.
Well, it's also a cool commander option. It would also, I think, be neat in like a Gruul deck.
Yep.
Yeah, in a Gruul deck, I think that would be really dope, because then you get the ramp.
Well, I'm going to be honest, this is going into 2-color Omnoth. Omnoth, Locus of Rage.
Yeah. So, man.
I planned on putting this in my Zerzoth deck, because I run so many different... Like, I already run, you know, Terramorphic and Evolving Wilds, but I also run Terrain Generator, so it's 3 combat steps just by... doing what I would normally do.
The ability to scapeshift, though, if you have 6 lands and then you scapeshift on this, I will take 6 combats.
Who's the Gruul commander that doubles mana again?
Nikia.
Yeah, Nikia. So you drop her, or you get her in, you already have double mana, and then you play that other green guy that we just went over, that every creature is now a forest. So you just start dropping in creatures, and then for every one that's a forest coming in, that's a landfall trigger. And so I just played 6 little weenies.
It's actually, I like that they stapled this onto Warrior, because then it can fit into every Najeela deck, which the whole point of it is I want to take extra combats.
Wow.
I kill you.
Yes, Warriors were the tribe that needed extra combats most.
Yep. Yes, Warriors, notoriously weak.
I'm not sold on like the fact that they stapled it onto a Minotaur, because it doesn't really work with other Minotaurs. It's not like a...
Well, it's red.
Exactly.
What else do Minotaurs have going for them?
But you know what? Now that I say that, what other red creature type would they have made it? Oh, yeah. Like, let's put this on a dragon.
They could have put it on Ogre.
Yeah.
I think Ogre would have
been Ogre would have been okay.
Ogre could have been good.
Giant could have been good.
Adrian spoils the card.
Respect Ogre's dead. Gaming club. What I was gonna say is, like, what are they gonna do? Put out a goblin? Like, that would be hysterical. Oh my god. I need to just tangent for 1 second. I just saw for the first time ever yesterday original Squee, and it made me want to vomit.
Why?
It is so ugly.
Don't you talk that trash
everybody,
in my house.
Anybody on earth, please, dear god, if you've never seen it, look it up. Squee from Arcadian Masks. It makes me want to die. It looks like if Squee was Shrek. Squee and Shrek fanfic made this baby. It is disgusting. I hate it.
So can I do one of the next Planeswalkers?
Go ahead.
Yes. Which one?
So I'm gonna do Nissa.
Oh hell yeah!
So Nissa, the Shadowed Bogs, two Bowls, black
I think.
Green.
Because like boughs, I think. Because like boughs of holly.
Yeah, but you know, here we are. It's a four loyalty Nissa. It has landfall.
So wait, what color is she?
She's black green.
Hell yeah, buddy!
Yeah, so excited about this. Whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, you put a loyalty counter on Nissa.
So strong.
Her plus one is untap target land you control. You may have it become a 3/3 elemental creature with haste and menace. I'm sorry, Menace.
Thank you.
The land. Then it's her Nate 5 is you may put a creature card with CMC less than or equal to the number of lands you control onto the battlefield from your hand or graveyard with two +1/+1 counters on it.
Let's just recognize that because of her landfall ability, you could do that the first turn you have her out.
She's
And also, her plus one, the fact that you don't have to make your lands creatures is really nice. It is a you may.
It's also awesome, too, because if, like, you play something that you can't really, like, so they put, you know, Godless Shrine, but Temple of the False Gods in every precon. If for some reason you were to have one and you can't actually activate it yet, being able to turn it into a land or a creature to be able to do something with it is still, you know, you can do something with the utility lands that aren't being used at the moment. But
same with something like a Terramorphic or an Evolving Wilds. You know, you just hold on to it, attack with it, and then crack it when you need to.
Exactly. Her Nate 5 is nuts. Like, I want to put this in my Scavengers deck because, like, this is just insane.
There's a... I'm not a fan of them stapling black mana onto Nissa.
I think that it makes sense.
Like I understand lore-wise, you believe it makes sense.
I do think it makes sense because she... I don't think... Because everyone's like, she should be Gruul. Or just still mono-green.
Wasn't the last one white-green?
No.
She's always been green with the exception of having Splash Blue and Almanket.
One time.
But I was gonna say a lot of people thought that she should be splash red because she'd be mad, but I don't think so.
Well, and because she's close with Chandra, and because the last time she was on Zendikar, she helped burn the Titans alive, and because it actually makes sense story wise.
She didn't help burn the Titans alive. She helped Chandra.
Yeah, so, by holding them.
Yeah, no. So my thought process though is like I said, everything that she's done, really, she's failed. Like she tried to save Zendikar, and instead she inadvertently released the Titans. And they, not inadvertently, on purposely, release the Titans. And she's like, they'll just leave. So dumb. But anyways, whatever. And then she's just like, oh, help during War of the Spark. And I'll awaken B2Ghazi. And then it's like, oh, no, you just absolutely annihilated their guild hall and their, like, sacred tree. They're pretty pissed. You know, everything with Chandra. Nope. No longer a thing. There are all these things that Nissa's tried to do and she keeps failing. So it makes sense character wise why she would really kind dark. Of fall into it. She this is emo Nissa.
Yeah. I can get that.
Something that like people miss often take about black is it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Bad.
It's not a negative connotation.
Exactly.
Because when you look at it.
Same
when
with white. White is not necessarily good. It's the same reason that Soren Markov can splash white.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyways.
When you look at the Golgari like concept, everything about them is life and death. It's just a cycle. So seeing Nissa like trying to coming back to Zendikar to continue to help it
it's
heal.
It's like the rebirth.
Exactly. So her being black makes sense to me, especially in this set with the royal being like it is, to try to basically fix the plane, you basically have to destroy it, which it's already been through, and now we're getting rebirth, you know, like whenever there's a fire, obviously in a forest, like it burns everything down, but the from the ashes grows new life. And that's kind of like I understand the black rain ideology for
it. But it has to like go through that like undergrowth and whatever. Anyways, but it's also can I sorry, did you have something else to say about Nissa?
Nope.
Okay. I was going to say with regards to fixing Zendikar, there's another planeswalker trying to fix Zendikar. Aggro style. and I'm into it, and I love her, and she's beautiful and perfect. And it's Nahiri, Heir of the Ancients. She's 2 and Boros colors, so 1 white, 1 red. Don't know why I went through puberty. She also starts at 4, 4 loyalty. Her plus 1 is is create a 1/1 white core warrior. Again, warriors, so much synergy. Creature token, you may attach an equipment you control to it, which is sweet. Then her minus 2 is look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal a warrior or equipment from among them, put it into your hand, the rest on the bottom in any order, which is also dope.
I'll grab that
Minotaur. And minus 3, which again, you can hit immediately, is Nahiri deals damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to twice the number of equipments you control.
Gross.
Yeah. So it's like a nice removal right away. I think that's really cool. She also has what we consistently talk about being one of the best things about a planeswalker is that it has built-in protection.
Yep.
So I think she's really cool. She's very much up my alley. I'm so into her. She's fly.
You know the only thing I like about this card is?
Everything.
The art.
Just the fact that the tip of the sword is actually outside of the border.
Yeah, it looks dope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Nahiri like this Nahiri specifically.
I do like this Nahiri because Nahiri has never really gotten much in the realm of like a personality. All she's ever had is like, well, let's be honest, you know, it's been, I love Zendikar. Where's Sorin? Where's Ugin? I hate you, Sorin.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's it.
That's the lore summarized.
Yeah, actually, I watched a video by another guy in Calgary who made video about it. Yeah,
like literally, that's it.
So. The next one I want to talk about is another mythic on it, and my opinion is in no way everyone's opinion. It's about one of the new mechanics in the set that I think is trash. Think it's absolute garbage. Hate it in every regard of it. I
think Brian loves it.
What might that be?
It's party.
Oh, the D&D thing.
I hate it.
I think it's neat in that they're kind of combining their two IPs. Products.
Yeah.
Trash. Tazri is the only real party commander, and Tazri, like, I understand that, like, she was the ally commander, so it makes sense. Trash mechanic. That's my opinion. Everyone else can have their own opinion. Tazri is, like, one of my favorite creatures, if everyone doesn't know that.
You're just angry because Barbarian's not part of that class thing?
No, it's just because it's not good. But anyways, Tazri costs 1 less for each creature in your party, or she's 5 mana.
Woo!
She's a 4/6 human warrior. She has a 5-color commander still, at least. She has hybrid mana symbols, so for every color but white or hybrid of each, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You can reveal up to 2 cleric, rogue, warrior, wizard, and or allies from among them. Put them into your hand, the rest on the bottom, in a random order.
See, like, it's just another building stipulation, right? More people want the stipulation and difficulties, so they...
Building stipulation or not. Look at the power increase of Drana to Drana, and then look at what they did to my boy. It's horrible.
General Tazri did definitely get a big nerf, but I think it was also, well, no longer a general. Let's just recognize.
Tazri, but Beacon also, of Unity. Tazri's just a strong...
Beacon of Unity? Like, how cool creature. Badass is that?
Yeah, that's a cool name.
But I was going to say, though, like, I understand... how it can be kind of a bummer for somebody like you that adores Tazri. I totally get that. However, they're trying out a new mechanic. She is the perfect choice for it.
Oh, absolutely. And, undoubtedly, but that's the thing. Like, just, she's the only one that...
What are they going to do? Allies were already so overpowered. We have no need for allies, but people go to Zendikar and they want allies. This is the best you're going to get, so shut up and like it.
You're not wrong, because the allies... there's nothing for them to be allied against
Thank
anymore.
Thank you.
But like this, like I said, they're just, she's not an adventuring party. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
She's unifying.
I'm sorry, Zach.
I'm kind of excited about the party mechanic. Not necessarily from what we've seen so far of this set. I don't think I'm as excited about it now. But we know on the horizon we have the D&D Magic crossover, and
this is like testing the waters.
That would have been the spot to stuff party.
I see where the raised class, you know, they've always done it in Magic, but now they're really, really dialing it in. And you can tell this is all going to be nodding towards that set, you know, with party caring about specific D&D, like IP classes. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work. Like, I think you're right. Like, this Tazri is not nearly as strong as the Tazri we had previously. And Party's kind of met as of now. But I could honestly see Party being much stronger when we get more support. You know, same thing for a Mutate. You know, they cram Mutate down our throat in Ikoria. And if you build an all-Mutant deck, it's very good. But there's still not a lot there. You know, they can only scram so much. So
yeah, they couldn't make the whole set mutate. That would have been a nightmare.
So my other problem with it is they like geared this too easily into like a competitive kind of thing. Thassa's Oracle is a wizard. I have a colorless mana sink. Generate infinite mana and fetch Thassa's Oracle. Oh wow. I don't know. I'm very not into.
Then
I get the hybrid mana as like a cool thing. Like I said, it's just
my thought process with all of that is like, I know that this isn't necessarily like adding much, but it's like, then don't build it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like
Daniel's being a Debbie Downer right now.
Yeah, Debbie.
This is like this is their same thing they do nonstop, where they're like, oh, let's make something that would work for Brawl.
Or they're just like, let's make some. Well, this is like Jankmander, I think.
It's for Brawl. It's like, that's the whole thing. They're like, oh, look at all of the support we have for this.
Look please, at all the commons.
Please just play our format, please.
Please, 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 dear God.
And again, I'm sorry if you do like Tazri. I really don't. And I'm positive about a lot of other things. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of the Nissa having black mana, like I said, but I can understand that. This just
So I'm gonna take it away from Gloomy Guts over there.
They're reprinting Lotus Cobra.
Oh,
well, we're
way doing... to steal my thunder.
Oh, really?
No. I wanted to actually bring it down to a uncommon that I'm excited
for. Break it down.
Well, Brian, before we do that, let's do the mythics. Finish the mythics, at least.
No, you guys are talking about all the stuff that makes you happy.
No, we're going to get there. We have too many. We might do like a second set of it because we're already pretty deep in.
Well, let Brian be happy.
I'm excited for the Ruin Crab.
Oh, more the mill. Hedron Crab.
Yeah. I could have two crabs now.
Hedron crab, but on
not
crack.
Hedron crab.
On crack, yeah.
Methamphetamine crab. What if it did the same for the same toughness and power and just milled everyone instead? You have my attention.
All right. So, yeah, literally somebody at, like, the Wizards design department is like, hey, Merc, this is my thought. And he's like, do it.
Hey, this is already a really strong card. What if we made it hit everyone in your playgroup?
Damn it. So, I'm in.
So, Brian.
Oh, crap. I didn't even realize it was each opponent.
Yes, Brian. It's methamphetamine crab.
This is amazing.
Brian, you want to tell the people at home what this card does?
So Ruin Crab is one blue, just like Hedron Crab. It's a creature crab. Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent mills three cards. So it's Hedron Crab on, like Daniel
welcome
mentioned.
To Standard.
Yeah,
right.
Let me put that.
I was gonna swear it's not really aggressively.
Is it a 0/3?
It's a 0/3.
It's literally better in every way than Hedron Crab, because Hedron Crab's a 0/2.
Yeah.
I would run why not? Both.
Why not?
Yeah. So something I want to talk about with not Hedron Crab,
Ruin Crab.
And anything else with Landfall. I brought it up in our host chat, but if you're unaware, any of the cards that have Landfall on them, they are actually getting their own showcase treatment, like we saw with the Mutate cards having like the comic book style. Any of the Landfall cards that are featured in this set also have their own like special art, so it'll be a different art and a new frame, and they look awesome. I don't know if you guys have seen them or not.
Oh yeah,
like,
a bunch
they
of
were
them
apparently wicked. They were inspired by like old school style travel posters, which is really neat. And they're absolutely beautiful. Like, they're really vibrant colors, really bright, really intense. Like, they're very eye-catching, obviously, due to the inspiration.
I really dig the colors.
Yeah, they're really pretty. The Lotus Cobra alone is just absolutely stunning.
French kiss.
Yeah.
Looking at this, we might have to do, like I said, I think we're going to have to do a second day of it where we talk the rares.
We're all over the place here.
Well, yeah, we've just gone over the mythics, and there's been so many. Like I said, the set, even with what we've mentioned so far, none of it's insanely overwhelming. There's it's powerful stuff, but again, it's stuff that you don't need to. It's not a necessity.
There are no auto includes really.
And everyone I want
no new staples.
I want to talk power creep like in general in a full length one. But what I'll say right now on power creep is it's not a bad thing, because it's just evening the playing field for a lot of newer players who just can't compete with like an older collection.
Yeah, whether it's affordability or accessibility. Like a lot of it's just really difficult to get your hands on some stuff. So it's nice to see these like new versions of duels and new like new really strong cards that like you might not be able to get your hands on, and like it's neato.
I think Wizards just needs to send me their bank account so I can have my paycheck. Yeah, so I can just direct deposit my paychecks into there.
That being said, I do want to talk about two specific cards before. I think we'll leave the Pathways till next time.
Yeah.
They're a very exciting card. Pathways are great. Like, they're worth buying boxes just to get.
Yeah, speaking of buying boxes.
I want to talk about two rares. One, I think it's a common, and then we'll go for the day. Number one is probably the best Salt card I've ever seen printed in my life. I will probably stop playing.
You're so old.
I will probably stop playing with people if I keep seeing this card. This is the saltiest I've ever seen. Confounding Conundrum, one and a blue. Enchantment. Whenever it enters, draw a card. Whenever a land enters under an opponent's control, if that player had another land enter under their control this turn, they return a land they control to its owner's hand. So Brian's sitting there bouncing infinitely, but for me, again, like I'm talking Scapeshift, I'm talking Windgrace. I love Landfall, one of my favorite. Landfall and ETB, two favorite mechanics.
Literally going to put this in my garbage blue decks just to absolutely
just to watch my blood pressure go up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not even that. Well, that's, you don't want to put this in something against Tatioba where I can keep putting lands in
Daniel
where I bounce
has
it.
A stroke.
But again, like it's just somebody wants to do explosive vegetation. Not on my
That's
watch.
That's crazy.
Not on my watch.
Explosive vegetation to your hand, peasant. Like it's oh,
not so explosive now, is it?
Oh yeah, four land fetch two basics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one's pretty brutal. And then
end step discard.
Yeah. And then I figure there's no way to not talk about this. Number one, they named this card wrong. This is just Vampire Goyfock.
Goyfock.
You take Vampire Goyfock away here.
This is Zach's baby.
All right, so before I explain the card, my favorite, absolute favorite card, like creature card, I should specify, ever printed is Vampire Knight.
Yeah.
I burn it in any black deck I can, as long as it meets a little bit of criteria. Like, I'm not just going to jam it in it like a zombie's deck.
Well, Nighthawk's such a good creature. Not? Death Touch, Lifelink, Flying is amazing.
They said, all right, what is Necrozak's favorite card? Okay, so what we're going to do for this set is we're just going to make it better for him specifically. You guys are all welcome. This is because of me. It's Nighthawk Scavenger. It's one a black for a vampire rogue. It has Flying, Death Touch, Lifelink, and it has this weird ability. So it's Nighthawk Scavenger's power is equal to 1 plus a number of card types among cards in your opponent's graveyard. And it's a 1 plus star, and then it's a 3.
Worst, it's a 1-3 Flying, Death Touch, Lifelink in its absolute worst, and that is a good card. That's one weaker than Vampire Nighthawk. At its best, what is that, an 8-3 Flying Death Touch Lifelink?
Yeah.
I love the meme that they came out for it. Mm. The one for the Family Guy with the, what was it, Alpha and the Penguin?
What is this?
I cannot tell, like, as soon as I started this card spoiled, I, like, lost my mind. I was so excited. I think I texted you guys, like, in chat immediately, like, replacing all my Nighthawks.
Yeah. Well, this is an amazing card.
Why remove them?
Just add Goyfock.
101 cards.
I'm going to get Hope to just like reprint its name on it for me. Vampire Goyfock.
Don't you worry. I'll do that for you.
Yeah, so like I said, like Nighthawk's my favorite creature ever printed. And this one is, it's better. And it's being a vampire rogue. Like it goes back to the party mechanic where it's a rogue, which is cool. Vampire is also a relevant, you know, creature type. It being three costs is also still just amazing. Like everything this card just Yeah, sorry. everything about this card already just is nuts. But like even Rogue now, like with the last couple sets we've seen, we're getting a lot of
tiny boats.
Like,
so what was the other one that you were excited for, Dan?
Well, I also just remembered the
Your little boy.
Now you know what, we're gonna go into the black card after. I just want to talk about Tangled Floral Hedron.
I was gonna say your little boy. Yeah.
So far, this is actually the favorite art I have from this. I just love everything about this card.
It's like a busted up Hedron covered in like nature. It's so pretty.
Yeah, so it's
who did the art on it?
It is Randy Vargas.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
there's two sides to it. It's one of the modal uncommons. It is one in a green for a 1/1 elemental that taps to add a green. So very good in any Omnoth style deck. Totally. Any deck that needs a little bit of land ramp in general. And then it has its flip mode, and it's just Tangled Veil, which just enters tapped for a land. So ramp, land ramp, basically Llanowar Elf stapled onto a card with one extra cost, or tap land if you need it. I love the art on both sides. I think that they're just an extremely solid card.
Gorge.
Dan, have you seen on Twitter, I think maybe Gavin Verhey shared it, I can't remember, but someone has actually taken this creature and turned it into a potted plant. They like sculpted it and they added a little like symbols on the Hedron at the top.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
I'll have to see if I can send you or find the link and send it to you. I didn't know you were like super pumped about this.
So it's my favorite artwork of the whole set. If I can find a print of it or a playmat of it, I'll buy it instantly.
I'm a on plant lady.
Either side I like the artwork of. But if there was a way to have like both on it, like I said, I'll find a print.
Hope's not a
Randy Vargas, reach out to me.
Yeah, me. I don't have any kids, and I'm almost 30, so I need to have plants.
Crazy plant lady.
Can we talk about one more card that's sure. kind of rocking the boat as it stands right now?
Sure.
So I'm so excited about this one too. It's Feed the Swarm. It's one in a black for a sorcery. Destroy target creature or enchantment opponent controls. You lose life equal to the permanent CMC.
Targeted yep. removal, put enchantments in black.
Yeah, it's a good card.
Boo.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones. That is the black one I was talking about for next week. Oh, no, it's all good. It's the same thing. I also wanted to talk about that one because it's just a...
So much.
It's a really good card. Like, yeah. it's...
I don't like it.
It might be one of the better cards in the set, to be honest.
Absolutely. That I think is kind of a new staple. Like, if you have a black deck, slot that card in. That is good removal.
It's really cool, too, because, like, going back to, like, the ideology and people, like, I've seen a lot of people complaining that black shouldn't be able to interact with enchantments, which I disagree with. Like, this isn't a color pie break. It's a shift yep. more than it is anything because it's doing what black does. We see black artificers, we see black enchantments.
It's costing you life, which is very black.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's a you know there's not a downside to giving things a little more interaction.
Yeah, totally.
I was so scared too when I think it might have been Mauro talking about how this set was going to have black enchantment removal. I was very worried we were going to see this at rare and multiple rare.
Yeah, I was going to say they could have stapled it onto a much higher rarity and made it an expensive staple. That's the what I was talking about initially is I'm really excited for a lot of the commons and uncommons in this set.
Yeah.
They're very solid.
Give me the crab.
Yeah.
Give me that sweet, sweet crab, baby.
But, yeah, like I said, there's so much in this set and they're so cool, different mechanic-wise. There's a lot of awesome stuff. We didn't touch on any of the rare legends. So the multicolored ones, I'm really excited. I want to go over them next week because there's just so many very, very cool. I just love all of them. I'm looking through them right now. Go ahead, Hope.
Okay, the one thing I want to talk about something that had people pretty stoked. And it's kind of related to what I would say more in like the high rarity mythic sort of realm. So I think we should touch on it now, and that's the buy boxes.
Sorry, oh yes,
the box hoppers.
Ugh.
Yes, let's actually talk about those. Those are
making me spend more hard-earned money for those expeditions.
But I think it might not even be hard-earned money. I think it's going to drop the price of a lot of them.
They're thinking right now the expeditions. It's expeditions. They're back, baby.
Gotta give me those.
And it's all 10 fetches. It's the battle bond lands. It's two of the man lands, but only the good ones. Gemstone Caverns or Cavern of Souls.
Yeah.
Wasteland. There's quite a few neato.
There's 30.
Yeah, there's 30. But so I hit on I think most of the notable ones.
You missed Valakut.
I'm curious.
And Valakut, sure. Okay, it's Zendikar. Obviously, there's Valakut. It's Zendikar. but no, I was gonna say though, like it is neat. It's nice that you get one per box, including set boosters. So you get it for a draft booster or a set booster. If you get collector boosters, you get foils, and you get two.
I'm buying that.
Yeah.
So the collector boosters,
honestly, I think have a lot of potential value.
The collector boosters can also crack them.
Yeah, collector boosters can crack them, and it looks like the odds are about 1 in 6 for foils.
When do these release? At the end of September?
End of September is pre-release.
Okay.
So.
Let me go and make some withdrawals from my RSP.
I like too that they're box toppers is essentially what they are.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah, they just stapled Expeditions box toppers together.
Like, here's a little bonus.
And I love the Expeditions. They're, generally speaking, for every Commander player, you're going to find something playable in this.
Well, and I'm happy that it's not like the old ways where it's just like a random crack, but it was so rare.
And that's what I was going to get at, is the fact that, like,
you actually get one.
You buy a box, you're guaranteed one.
You don't have to crack 22 boxes of BFZ to get one.
Exactly. I like both. Also this Prismatic Vista, I have to say.
Oh, yeah,
so
gorge.
Good.
Is the art going to be different, or is it going to be the same art?
No, it's full. Have you not seen them?
No.
Oh, I'll show you after we're done recording,
Brian.
You're going to buy multiple boxes.
Hence why I was saying I'm going to withdraw from my RSP.
It's gonna wreck you, Brian. You don't want to see this. You don't want no part of this, Brian.
Box toppers. They also made a change to the buy a box.
So, they went back to the old ways.
Where it always should have been.
I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think that cards in a set should be locked behind paywalls, and that's exactly what they did.
Or that they should only be accessible in that one form, because it creates such a weird scarcity. You saw that with Nexus of Fate, which is still $40.
I know.
40 Moose Dollars.
Oh, yeah, Moose Dollars. But even like Ren and Ciri, which were just released with the core set. Ren and Ciri is like a $20 Moose card.
I didn't even get one.
Exactly.
Yeah, because so they can run out of them.
We can talk about the card next week because it is a legendary creature, but what they've done with it.
And that's one that you wanted to talk about specifically. I know you're very excited for it. So next week I'll let you, we'll start off with that one next week.
Yeah, we'll hit it. But okay. So we've gone back into the olden ways, my friends.
Yeah. But yeah, that's
the thing that I'm pointing out about the art with that is, like, they're doing, if you didn't get to buy box promos like back in the day, what they used to do was that they would give you a card from the set with different art and it was foil. So like the one I remember most was Celestial Colonnade.
Yep.
Celestial Colonnade was like wasn't as big of a deal back in the day as it is now. Where here, instead of just like getting a foil version, you're getting a full art version of this card that is going to be in the set, but this is the only way you get the full art version, which I'm just like, if they do this going forward again, I would just be ecstatic.
Yeah.
This is
give
an extended or alternate art, buy a box, and then give box toppers if you want to do something that's different. And that's my vibe. I think that's dope, and I think that they should continue doing that.
The last thing I wanted to touch on with those buy a box is that this is just proof that they just really don't care about standard at all.
No, not at all.
These aren't legal in standard.
They specifically gave them new set symbols and said that they have different set symbols and they are not standard legal.
Cry about it, standard players. Start buying boxes and they'll love you.
Yeah. It's us that's providing all the cash.
Yeah, the frames on these Expeditions are amazing.
Brian, like you don't want to see this. Like I said, you don't want part of it.
You're going to bankrupt. You are actually not going to have a girlfriend because she will break up with you.
Ghost Jen will leave.
So if anyone's interested, Brian is now single. Just kidding. Please don't kill me, Jen. Anyways.
I'm going to have to get a list.
edit that out, Dado. But no, so just want to say, so next week we're gonna really get into the rares and some of the other commons and uncommons that we're pretty stoked about for the set. I'm sure we're gonna have more spoilers by that point, so that'll be pretty neato burrito. So who knows what next week is gonna hold. It's probably gonna be an absolute chaos as well.
Next week also we might do a longer episode next week. 1 year.
Oh my god,
1 year since we launched the show.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's been an adventure, hasn't it?
Let's get champagne and cry.
Brian said he's
drunk. Brian,
bring it back.
Before we end this, do we want to talk about Patreon?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'll hit it, Zach. Don't you worry, baby.
We got this.
I didn't know if we want to give like a specific person a shout out.
I would love to. I wanted to shout out our the first person that
has supported
us on Patreon. It was just the greatest moment, just the greatest feeling to see that that first one roll.
Well,
in.
And especially somebody who's just launched it, like it's awesome. We appreciate.
And this is a seems to be a long time fan and a friend of the show and
long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah, long time listener, first time caller. And that's Lillian of the Vale. We love you. We appreciate you. And what up, girl? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So, alrighty, guys.
On a personal note, I was having a really crappy week, and when that came through and we saw that, like, I just want to let you know, Liliana, like, you literally made my week so much better. Thank you so much.
That was on the Friday, too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Woo,
woo. All right, guys, so that'll take us to the end of the show today, it seems. So we obviously are pretty hype about Zendikar. Let us know your feelings on your favorite mythics, mythic rares. Do you think that any of the cards are kind of OP? What are you going to slot them into? What are you most excited about? And kind of get you some ideas. We're only for next week as well. If you have any ideas of what you want to do with any of the new legendaries, let us know. And lastly, of course, be sure to
Hope's really going. We have an outro song we wanted to play while she's doing this, but she just really went right into it.
She went all in.
Check us out on all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, as well as our YouTube and our website, intothe99.com. We also stream games every Friday, Saturday at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And the podcast is out every Sunday at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
Bye.
See ya.